Well, California's Prop 12 has survived yet another legal challenge in a federal appeals court. This challenge had been brought by the National Pork Producers Council and American Farm Bureau Federation, which alleged Prop 12 imposed excessive costs on out-of-state pork producers who will have to comply with the law's animal housing requirements. But the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled against the Pork Producers and Farm Bureau in a 3-0 decision. Jim Monroe, spokesman for the National Pork Producers Council, said, "We are disappointed in the court's decision and maintain our position on Prop 12. It is a clear violation of the U.S. Constitution's Commerce Clause. We are evaluating the decision and our next steps." All right, let's talk more about Prop 12 with Travis Arp. He's the Senior Director of Export Services for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. Travis, thanks for joining us. From your perspective, as far as exports are concerned, how will Prop 12, if implemented, how will that impact our pork exports?
Yeah, good morning. And we see the potential, just based off of the proposed regulatory text, for Prop 12 really just to cause some potential complications and logistical issues for U.S. pork exports. We send about 50%, a little less than 50% of our pork exports transit through the state of Colorado. They leave, or through California, excuse me. They leave the country via these California ports. And based off of some of the requirements that California has or could potentially put into place in terms of indicating whether that product is Prop 12 compliant, and the ability for an exporter to kind of move that product logistically through the state of California could potentially pose some issues to our U.S. pork exporters that use that state as a transit hub.
So, I mean, these actions don't happen in a vacuum, right? Prop 12 is going to impact producers in other states, and it will impact, as you said, and we'll see to what degree, but could have an impact then on us moving pork through California and to our markets around the world.
Yeah, some of the points in the regulatory text that California has proposed is that on commercial documents, so shipping documents, bills of lading, the exporter would have to indicate on there whether that product is Prop 12 compliant or not. And so it's really not an uncommon thing that, you know, an exporter has prepared a shipment to go out of a West Coast port in California. It gets to a cold storage in, say, Long Beach or Oakland or L.A. And then for some reason, maybe that sale falls through and then they have to figure out what to do with the product. And sometimes it can stay on the domestic market. Well, if that product's not Prop 12 compliant, now that exporter really doesn't even have the option to move that product within the state of California. They got to move it out of the state, move it somewhere else, and find an alternative market for it. The other aspect of it is that the California Department of Agriculture has stated that they can inspect product coming across the border into the state of California whenever they kind of on an ad hoc basis. And a lot of this product is loaded in the Midwest. It's put into a container that's sealed with a USDA seal. And now, if that product's going into the state of California, the Department of Agriculture could potentially break that seal, open up the container, do an ad hoc inspection. And now you're talking about issues with export documents, regulatory documents issued by USDA. It just kind of creates these logistical challenges for our exporters that are going to make it a little less ideal to move product through the state of California because of this.
All right, so we'll wait and see what the next move is on Prop 12. But again, this is the second case, the second challenge to Prop 12 that has been denied by the court. So we'll see where it goes from here. We're talking with Travis Arp, Senior Director of Export Services for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. All right, Travis, this ongoing backup at West Coast ports, what's the situation there now? Are we making any improvements on that at all?
At this point, it looks like I wouldn't necessarily paint the picture as it's improving, but it's been somewhat status quo over the course of the summer. We're kind of getting into a critical period here in the next couple months as we start to see increased imports from Asia as we get into the back-to-school season and things of that nature. And, you know, we've talked with some of the ports in California and they've indicated that import numbers are rising. So not necessarily a good sign that we're going to see a lot of improvement as we get through the next couple months. Cold storages are very full on the West Coast, and just kind of anecdotally from our exporters, the situation is still pretty challenging. So still need to see some improvement over the course of, the rest of this year before we start to see things start really clear out there.
It'll take some time, won't it, to work through that backlog?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've already seen product been piling up there on the West Coast over the first, 7 months of this year. And as we look forward, and there's not really a good silver lining that shows that the situation's going to improve, particularly from an increase in imports coming in, maintained delays on getting that product onto boats. We don't have a lot of optimism that we're going to see that backlog clear out here in the near term, and we're probably looking into 2022 before we really see that pipeline start to normalize as to what it was kind of pre-pandemic.
Well, give us an idea of the impact of that. What it influences and affects a lot of different areas, right? Kind of give us an idea of what it's costing us, what it means to our export business, and what's at stake here.
Well, yeah, just from the red meat side, I mean, we are moving on the beef side. Almost 70% of our exports are going through the West Coast. Through the West Coast, a little over 50% of our exports from the pork side are going through the West Coast. And while we've seen really good export numbers over the last several months, and we've been on a really good pace, those numbers could be significantly better just because there's hundreds of containers that are sitting there still waiting to go out. And so I mean, you're talking well into the the hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that's at stake here on the amount of product that goes through there. And like I said, our numbers have been good from an export standpoint, but they could certainly be better if these logistical challenges weren't facing our exporters.
How many ports are we talking about?
Well, really the main congestion has been centered around Southern California, LA and Long Beach. That's really two of the major ports that move a lot of the agriculture volume from an export standpoint. But when you get those two ports backed up, then you have vessels that are moving up to Oakland and looking to try and just find kind of a more normalized port there, and that's caused backups in Oakland, and it just kind of works its way up the coast when you include Seattle and Tacoma, Washington in there. That port has been more steady, I would say, over the course of this year, but not without its issues. But really four main ports there on the West Coast that are moving the lion's share of the volume for agriculture exports.
Is this a labor issue?
I think that labor is always going to be a problem and has for some time. But I think really this has been more a function of just how much the U.S. is importing into those West Coast ports. We're seeing absolutely record volumes over the first 7 months of this year. And when there's so many containers coming into the United States, there's so much demand in Asia to get those containers that are offloaded back. Empty containers taking up space on vessels is really, to me, one of the critical issues here. And it really, at this point, has less to do with, COVID restrictions and labor availability, and more just is a volume issue at this point, from my perspective.
What will it take to break through that? Do we need the government to do something, or what's it going to take?
Well, I think kind of the generally accepted solution is we just need to see more of a normalized supply and demand situation in the U.S. That said, there are some potential policy resolutions out there. The port infrastructure was mentioned in the most recent Biden administration executive order and kind of directed the Federal Maritime Commission to take more of an oversight role in helping normalize the port situation. There's also a potential proposed bill, bipartisan bill coming forward that is going to look at giving more enforcement to the Federal Maritime Commission and trying to mandate these vessels carrying more U.S. exports out of the country.
Sounds like it's going to take time, though. Travis, thanks for the update.
Thank you.
Travis Arp with the U.S. Meat Export Federation.